This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello to listeners joining our show now by U95.7 in New Orleans, also 96.5 WCMF, Rochester's Classic Rock, and our friends at 98.9 The Rock, Kansas City's Rock Station. Big show for you. Your guess is as good as mine coming up. The categories will be free food that you get at work and food allergies. We'll also review some Men's Room rules, drink a toast with a shot of the day, and another round of Profile This. And today is the day we do our random question. 844-999-OLA.
And if you are just joining the show, know that one of the side things that has happened, Miles has continually been trying to come up with ideas how to get out of jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
And the suggestions keep coming in. I appreciate this one. This one says, getting out of jury duty, this is easy. Simply say, and I quote, "Well, they wouldn't have arrested him if he wasn't guilty. Am I right?"
All right.
I'm going to say, if you say that, okay. Well, I was in the guilty. That's why we're here.
Maybe I'll try chewing tobacco for the first time and just have it running out the side of my lip. You know,
Bring a cup.
With that paper towel stuffed down
into
a red solo. Well, you said you can't smoke in here.
So, you know, I got to get my backy.
I'm going to do a little red man. You know what I mean? Red man like an Indian. You know what I mean?
That's what they named it after.
That's right. He's right there on the pouch, see?
Better hope he's not on trial.
That's right.
Just don't stick that in your lip.
No. Oh, yeah. You got to chew that.
Yeah, make that noise too.
Random.
You gonna service lunch in here or what?
Random.
Just keep it.
Random,
what time is lunch? Random,
you got milkshake for me? I always have milkshake at lunch.
Random. Milkshake.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
All right, Justin. Okay, this is kind of an interesting question. I think people are kind of peculiar about this thing, but don't think too much about it. What do you need to ensure a good night's sleep? What is the thing that you need to make sure, like, if I'm going to get a good night's sleep, I at least need to have this? What is
whiskey?
Well, I mean, sex always helps.
Well, sure.
Yep, that's a great answer. Sex is sex puts me right to sleep. That's why I've been sleepless for years.
To get a good night's sleep,
do you listen to music? Do you have a sound wave? Do you need certain types of comforters? For an example, our own Nee Ted Smith cannot deal with a duvet. It's too heavy.
No,
it's too crazy.
I can sleep on a hardwood floor, to be honest.
So you can sleep anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
All right, that's impressive. A lot of people can't do that.
I can pretty much sleep wherever.
You can sleep at the bar.
Sleep at the bar. I can sleep on the street. It doesn't matter.
Okay,
man.
For an example, I'll give you a few examples. I cannot sleep sitting up in an airplane. And obviously, if you take a red eye, whatever, the idea is try to get some sleep. For whatever reason, if I'm sitting up, I have a very difficult time. It's not that I haven't done it before. It's just not the easiest way for me to fall asleep.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So you get to the hotel room, and a couple things I'm not used to. Air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. And darkness.
And the blackout curtains.
That's great sleep.
That is a fantastic combination.
I drop the temperature down in the room. Blackout curtains. I cannot tell you what time or day it is when I wake up in a hotel room. And I normally get a really good night's sleep in a hotel room. And it's not my own bed.
The problem is in those blackout rooms, like when you first wake up, you kind of forget where you are because you have no sensory of anything.
Yeah.
And then you open those curtains, man, and it's like goddamn Nosferatu instead. Like,
I mean, I got
sunlight
tons
comes
of
like, oh my God.
Like, during the summertime, man. Like, I don't have AC in my place. So, like.
Then you would need a fan. Like, I would need a fan. So, in the summertime.
And I like fans. But I'm just saying, like, the hotel room in the summertime, when you can have that AC on, like, oh, that's the best.
How about a sleep time? Well, you don't have a television in your bedroom.
No, I do now.
Okay, I set my sleep timer because if I don't, I'll start dreaming about whatever the hell's on television, and it's weird. Like,
yeah,
I'm subconsciously listening to
I had
television.
A dream last night that I got in trouble for the fire festival.
I walked in and my kids were asleep, and it was Criminal Minds was on. Right toward the end. And that show gets real cerebral, and I'm like, I really hope they're not dreaming about this stuff, man, because I don't know how to explain this to them. Like, yes, someone did try to murder you in your bed last night.
Oh, hell, you brought up Harden scoring all those points the other night.
Same oh, time. Yeah, without right. assisting.
Okay, I didn't want to watch any highlights. I did not check the sports, but I left ESPN SportsCenter on when I was sleeping. So I already knew that Harden went off.
So did you wake up knowing
no,
everything?
I knew. I did not know the point total, but I knew it was like, and Harden at it again, you know, and I knew when I woke up, like, oh, he had a hell of a game. I didn't know if the Rockets won, but I definitely know that
he had a good game.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's kind of weird.
Because
sometimes.
Remember, just because he has a great game does not mean the Rockets won.
Not at all.
Well, he is the Rockets.
Miles, by the way, more suggestions coming in for you to get out of jury duty. Someone says, I had a free Charles Manson shirt. Got me out of jury duty every single time.
Hmm. Wonder if there's any Gary Ridgway t-shirts out there.
Dude, you can get them printed. You can get them, you know, like, figure any serial killer, anyone who's remarkably unpopular. Mm-hmm. I love Harvey Weinstein.
Should I go Bundy now that he's Netflix? You know what I mean?
No.
Maybe Bundy on the front, Ridgway on the back?
Ridgway, yes. Bundy already has a fan club because he was a good-looking guy. So even though he killed all these people, they were still like, well, we kind of like him. In spite of him being a multi-murderer serial killer, I like his eyes.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll put like a box of Frosted Flakes on the front, like Bundy on the back. It's my cereal shirt.
There you go. Serial killer.
Cereal shirt. Right. Yeah. I got a whole lineup.
Have a dead Tony the Tiger.
Reason we ask, what do you need to ensure a good night's sleep? According to not one, but two new studies out of Switzerland, you would love it if someone rocked you to sleep like your parents did when you were a baby.
I don't think my parents rocked me to sleep. I don't sense that is how life was.
Researchers found that adults slept better when they were in bed that had a motor gently rocking them back and forth. And those people had deeper sleep than people in regular beds. The researchers say when we rock, our brains catch on to the rhythm and it helps us prepare for a deeper sleep.
A lot of people say, I guess there's a thing called a weighted blanket. Apparently, they are all the rage. Someone says, I have a weighted blanket that's 15 pounds. Damn. They say it's awesome.
But do you get real hot in there?
I woke up the other night with the night sweats, man. And yeah, the blanket's not even that heavy. My bedroom was freezing cold. I woke up. I'm covered.
I had to go to the other side that I never sleep on. You know what I mean? Just kind of like go over there in the dry area.
Yeah, if I can never just fall asleep, I'll reverse head position. So I'll sleep at the other end of the bed.
I do that too.
Yeah, that's like
really.
That's like it's like 3 a.m. I haven't fallen asleep. Like there's no reason I'm not drunk or anything. I just can't fall asleep.
It gives you more room for your arms over your head.
But I don't generally sleep like Superman.
Okay, all right.
You sleep in any, because I've never seen.
You sleep in reverse arc.
Can apparently sleep comfortably in any position. I've never seen anything like it, man.
And then the other one that'll put me down really quick is, and I know it's weird because your parents did it, but if I'm dating a girl and I'm just laying in a bed and somebody rubs my back.
Oh, well, sure,
like
a small, man.
Like, I'll just fall asleep.
I believe that's true of all mammals.
Rub my belly.
It's like, calm down, Ted. Random. Like,
you have a roll on your back so they can rub your belly? Hello, Cody. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, bicholas.
Hola.
Cody, welcome to the program and the random question. All right, Cody. We're going to go with this one. Of all your possessions, if we went and we dated them, what would be the oldest thing in your possession? So what is the oldest thing that you own? Maybe your grandfather passed it down to you. Maybe it's a family heirloom or something you collected. What is the oldest thing that you still currently have in your possession?
Current pair of underwear.
I have
this is kind of a tough question. Really,
you have a Nintendo 64?
Ooh, I do have an old NES, Super Nintendo.
Okay. And when did that come out?
I have no idea. It's older than me. I'm only 27. That thing's been out for at least 5-10 years before I was born.
Okay, well that would qualify.
That's pretty old, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was my stepdad's, and it was my uncle's, and I found it in some rubble as we were, like, demolishing an old shed. Found it, and it still works, so.
What kind of games can you play on that? Do you have any games still for it?
Yeah, I got a ton. There are a bunch of old NES games,
now,
Nintendo games.
What is the difference between trying to hook that system up to the TVs in the day and the TVs that they make now? Do you need a special adapter or something to plug that bad boy in?
Yeah, like you have the new ones are all HDMI. So I actually bought they came out with like a mini version, a small one that has the HDMI hookup, and it's got like 100 or like 30 preloaded games on it.
Okay.
So I got that. So so I don't even mess around with that anymore. But yeah, I do have the old system, and I have all the old games, so maybe I'll keep it around for collector's sake or something.
That's why it sucks that Radio Shack isn't around anymore. Like, the one time you need to go to Radio Shack where they have an adapter from a TV from 40 years ago to fit this game that works into a new one, that would be the only reason you need to walk in there.
You would think they could almost come back now just on that premise alone. You know what I mean? Like, look, if you still have an old iPhone and, God forbid, Apple still sell the freaking chargers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Radio Shack would be the place.
What's the oldest thing you own?
Oldest thing I own that I can think of off the top of my head, man, because there's a point where everything in my life disappeared, right? But one of the first things I bought at Goodwill, it was, I don't know, basically, it's like a wooden cabinet, but it's not even that. It's like three drawers. It's not a dresser. It almost feels like an end table or something, but it was $5, right? But this thing has been solid as, like, any other piece of furniture I've been torn up, broken, whatever. This goddamn thing won't go away, so I just keep repainting it, put a different handle on it, man, so it's got to be, at this point, about 21, 22 years old.
Okay. Ted?
A pair of gym shorts.
Oh.
Like, wow, I had a pair of gym shorts I got freshman year, so that was like 1995.
You don't have anything from high school or anything like that?
Oh, you're right. I mean, I guess I'm saying those gym shorts
you
I got in high school.
You still have them?
Yeah. And they're short.
Do you wear them?
Just a bit.
Every once in a while. But those have held on for life. What brand?
Champion. Like the old school thick mesh with the C on it, but you gotta know me intimately to see me in those bad boys.
I've known you a long time, and I have no desire to see you in them.
Yeah, I think
that works out for both of us.
I'm trying to think, as I don't own anything of like my grandparents. I don't know any,
I've got a silver dollar from like 1863, Lady Liberty or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather gave me one of those, but it's supposed to be all silver. But I think, like, I looked a thing up, like, this thing's got to be worth a ton of money.
It's not.
Worth like $5.
So I gave it to you.
But they would say, like, wow, well, that's an increase in, you know, 80% value. Like,
it's $5.
Exactly.
Someone here, I have a Rainier beer bottle from 1878. That's the first year that they were produced.
Damn.
Wow.
That's cool. See, that's very cool.
Random question. More of your calls coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Still come, your guess is as good as mine. The categories will be free food at work and the top food allergies. We'll do your guess is as good as mine right after emails on our random question. 844-999-OLA.
You asked what's the oldest thing that you still own, mm-hmm. You know, whether it's an heirloom, whatever. Yeah. Ted, you have the pair of shorts you got from, what, freshman year of high school? Freshman year of high school. You said they look terrible on you, and we'd never want to see you in them. Someone else has their hockey jersey from high school. Someone else, they have the WWF, not WWE, but WWF Ultimate Warrior Wrestling buddy from the 1990s.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Okay. Someone else has a family Bible that's dated back to the 1600s. Oldest thing that this person has, their old blanket from when they were 1 year old or 41 now. A bottle of Hennessy from 1978. I'd love to say I could keep stuff like that around. I would have an empty bottle from Hennessy from 1978. I have my grandfather's Naval Academy ring from before World War II, but after World War I. A 1920 cookbook on how to use a refrigerator.
All right.
And this one, I enjoy what they're trying to say here. They say, I have a rock. It is very old as the earth. I have only owned it for about an hour, and it is in my shoe.
Okay. Well, the reason we ask, what is the oldest thing you own? A Florida Taco Bell had to be evacuated after a customer found a hand grenade while fishing and for some reason took it into the Taco Bell.
Wouldn't you?
The man told police he located the grenade while magnet fishing north of West Orlando.
Is that like metal detecting but in the water?
I guess
so. It's gotta be, right?
I mean, right, you're not getting fish, right?
He said he put the grenade in his trunk and drove it to a nearby Taco Bell. The man called 911 to inform them of his discovery. Police and the bomb squad then responded and examined the explosive device in his car.
And ordered 18 Taco Supremes.
Which evacuated the Taco Bell. Authorities said the device was a verified, authentic World War II hand grenade. Bomb squad removed the grenade safely to dispose of it properly. Jeez. Taco Bell then reopened several hours later. The man has not been named, but yes.
I found a grenade. Let's go to Taco Bell.
It's so weird.
And then whatever. I don't know. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
All right.
How's it going, guys?
Doing good, Ben. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I got off work early.
All right, good for you.
I was fired, but, you know, still.
All right, Ben, let's ask you a little knowledge here. Ben, do you know first aid, or do you know any life-saving measures? Do you know first aid?
I do.
Okay, what do you know?
I know CPR. I also know how to, you know, stomp wounds. And I know how to do a tracheotomy, but it'd be terrifying to do it.
Why do you know all of this?
Because my mother has been a nurse for about 20 years. And so I picked up on a lot of stuff.
What is the real key with the tracheotomy? Because to me, it seems like, all right, I get myself an empty ballpoint pen, right? That always seems to be the move. So I have my tube. And then just jam that bitch right in her, not their throat, but that little soft part, right?
Yeah, you want to make sure not to get any tendons or ligaments or any...
Hey, wait. You have too many demands for me to try to save your life.
Now, your mom set you down at the kitchen table, Ben, and said, let me show you how to do a trach. She actually showed you how to do that.
No. She used diagrams and stuff.
All right.
No, wait. What happened? I'm trying to give you a tracheotomy to save your life, all right? And I accidentally hit some tendons along the way. Is that going to kill you? Are you paralyzed? Like, what more damage have I done? How have I made things worse?
I mean, it's not going to kill you, but it's going to make movement really hard after that. And it's going to make for a really long recovery and probably surgery to reattach them.
So basically, I should just let them die. And Ben gave me solid advice. I got to let you go, bro.
Just stay vertical, don't go horizontal with the cuts, and you should be good.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Ben, because we only play doctors here on TV. Now, you try to clear an airway. You realize that the person isn't getting any air. Now, for a trach, basically, that article, food, whatever has been swallowed, needs to be in the back of the throat between... Your Adam's apple, essentially.
If it's below that, you just poke the hole.
Right, for no reason. Right. So how do you know, like, if you can't reach in there and get the object?
I would tell you just to, I mean, like, don't worry about it, my stick it in my neck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, how do you determine, I never want to give someone an unnecessary tracheotomy.
I would only use a tracheotomy for inflammation. If it's, like, swelling shut, you want to use the tracheotomy.
Okay.
Then you're probably just cutting into them for no reason.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So if I have an allergy, my head swells up, my face swells up, I can't breathe, that's the time for a trach, you're saying?
Correct. Because if the food is stuck, chances are it is lower where your esophagus meets, you know, your throat.
Well, couldn't I just keep jamming, like, you know, drilling the wall to find the stud? Like, let me try lower.
Just reach your arm down there like it's a puppy stuck in an anaconda.
Okay. Again, that puppy's going to die, Ben. I don't think you're following my line of reasoning here. Just saying, if I see an anaconda eat a puppy, even if it's my puppy, I'd be like, man, oh, man, I love that dog.
Mm-hmm. There's a famous scene from The Office where Michael Scott takes a CPR lesson and the instructor tells him, as we've talked on many occasions about, to perform chest compressions to the beat of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. There's 100 and some songs that they figured out. We've used them for Sit and Spin. We've played them quite a few times.
Would they get royalty? In theory, if you had the song at the ready, right, and you played, like, you're a lifeguard, so you have it at the ready, and I play the song, like, would the Bee Gees get money for that? Like, hey, man, you played our song. I mean, we get paid for it.
Well, he probably just hummed it. Well, that scene, believe it or not, in The Office literally just saved a life. There's a 21-year-old guy, no relation, named Cross Scott in Tucson, Arizona. And he was driving earlier this month when he saw a woman who was unconscious in her car. He broke the window with a rock, found the woman didn't have much of a pulse, so he knew he needed to try CPR, and that scene from The Office then popped into his head. So he started performing chest compressions on the woman to the tune of Staying Alive. After about a minute, the woman took her own breath and then threw up. The paramedics arrived a few minutes later. They told Cross if he hadn't jumped in, things could have gone very differently.
Good
basically,
for him.
What they're saying is she might not be around.
Random. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if I'd have the confidence to do it.
I was doing Tears in Heaven from Clapton and she died.
Too slow, man.
I mean, I think the problem with the tracheotomy is that, like, if you watch TV, you want to give one. Seems like they're handing them out all the time.
Oh, they do.
But I don't know if it's that necessary. Like, I'm not worried about missing. I'm worried about just giving somebody one and be like, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but you also need something to jam in there. Like, they always use an ink pen, right?
Correct.
The pen I have right now, this is a Bic round stick, right? Standard pen. It's not hollow up top. So I can worry about the ink cartridge. Jam this thing in your neck. You're going to die anyway. Like, you have to have, Ted, you have the right pen.
Yep.
So if we have to do a tracheotomy, you want to reach out for Ted, not
Miles,
me.
Lay down. We'll give you a tracheotomy.
Let's just see if it works. Let's awesome. If you die, Ted has no idea.
My
what
buddy had one. I always thought
he
it was
said
so
you
cool.
wanted out of jury, dude.
Looking at him like, wow.
Like emergency trach or like surgical?
Surgical trach, yeah.
That's not exciting.
No, yeah. But it's exciting to look at and see when he like, you know.
So after you get one, is it one of those deals where you like talk out of your throat?
There's a lot of throat rumbling going on in there. There's a lot of this.
Does he have to press a button to talk?
No, he didn't. For whatever reason, he had one. He didn't have to press a button.
What is the situation where, like, a lot of the old-time smokers used to have it, right? Like, so before they would say, hey, kids, don't smoke, they had to press a button to let you know that you shouldn't smoke.
I don't know. I think that's like your whole vocal thing is shot.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
I don't know either.
If anyone knows, please let us know. Why do I
very fascinated by this?
Yeah.
Anybody need a trach? Come on in.
Come on in, man. Do it quick. We'll try to miss the ligaments. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
All right.
A quick shout out, fellas.
Oh, sure.
Want to say hello to my beautiful girlfriends, Serenity and Sammy, and my son, Lyric.
Now, let me ask you this. People love doing shout outs. I get it. And it'd be one thing. Look, we're syndicated. You want to give a shout-out to your buddy in Rochester? I get it. But you said this is for your girlfriend and your son.
Yes, my girlfriend, Randy and Sammy and my son, Lear.
So is this more impressive for them to hear your shout-out here, as opposed to if you had, like, sent them a text and say, hey, love you, it's Dad, have a good day?
Yeah, because they don't listen to this radio station. I'm trying to press it on them a lot.
Wait,
so,
they don't listen, but you gave a shout-out.
It's kind of like going into McDonald's going, I want a pizza. Give me a pizza. And they look at you're nuts. You said, I just always wanted to walk in here and ask for a pizza.
Trying to change the culture, so trying to get them to listen to some good radio.
Yeah, you're not
okay.
That's going to be a tough fight.
If they're not listening to this, they might already be.
Tell them to listen to another point of the radio broadcast other than our show. All right, let's go with this one here. What did you eat that made you sick? What did you eat that made you sick?
You know, it was just a couple days ago. I went to a Mexican restaurant in White Center. I won't say the name, but I had a sada burrito and was sick all day.
Man, that sucks.
Do you think it was, man, asada is tremendous. You think it was the meat? Was there any indication while you were eating it that you might get sick later, like a weird taste, weird texture, or did it just take you completely by surprise?
Completely by surprise. I mean, the place had, like, awesome reviews. It had, you know, a good number. It was, like, 4.5 stars. I'd never been there before. Tasted great. It had nice and clean inside. So nothing out of the ordinary would have said otherwise.
See, that's the problem with food poisoning, man. Like, it happens so infrequently per restaurant that you can get a great review, but odds are it's going to happen sooner or later. It's not really a reflection of the restaurant. It's just one of those things that happens. But how long were you sick? Was it coming out of both ends or just one?
Just one end. So it was about 24 hours.
Was it the end you sit on?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, all right.
God damn, 24 hours just puking this stuff up.
Yep.
That sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Food poisoning's terrible. And the thing is that don't you can never judge a book by its cover. When you go into a restaurant, it could be the cleanest looking place you've ever seen in the world.
Sure.
And you'll get sick. You could also go onto a street stand in a third world country and get the same exact burrito.
And nothing's wrong.
And nothing happens to you. Think about venereal diseases, okay? Think about how the person looked that gave you a venereal disease. Chances are, if you put them in a lineup, you wouldn't pick them as the one because, oh, that's the attractive-looking person who looks like they're done up.
No, you don't want to believe it's that one.
Right, but then again, like, you could have sex, like, with your dog's best friend's dog, and you know what I mean?
Dog's best friend's dog.
And still not get anything weird, but, you know, you have sex with, I don't know, the homecoming queen, and the next thing you know, you're in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about that, man.
That's with odd-colored discharge.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, it just makes more sense. Like, the hotter they are, probably the more partners they've had.
Yeah, but you don't think about that going in like anybody else.
I typically don't. Well, I wonder how many people have been here before.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm just saying it makes sense that more attractive people would have a greater risk of STD.
But you know how, like, anything works, man. It's, look, like we were saying, you know, Ted Bundy, now that his documentary's out and all this stuff, this guy killed however many people he killed, a ridiculous number. Cold-hearted killer, but at the time, he was considered to be a good-looking guy, so it was like, well, I mean, I know he's guilty of killing over 40 freaking people or whatever it was. People still had a soft spot. There was the guy, his mug shot went up. It wasn't the first time he'd been to jail, right? The guy basically is a career criminal, and now, what, he's dating a billionaire's daughter and he's a model.
It's a Jeremy
because
Meeks.
In spite of the fact that he's leading a life of crime, people saw his picture, and you just decide, you know what? They can be rehabilitated. Ugly people, you don't believe they can be.
Here's a warning for you, and the reason we asked, what did you eat that made you sick? A student only known as AJ, who was 20 years old, fell ill after eating the pasta that he had on his stove for 5 days. That from being cooked the first time. He would warm it up in the microwave and eat it before going out to play a sport, but then came home an hour and a half later, severely ill with headaches, abdominal pain, and nausea. Now keep in mind, this spaghetti was on the stove for 5 days. He would go and scoop some out, put it in a bowl, and then he would microwave it, and then he would eat it.
So even irradiating this, whatever was wrong with this, that didn't work anymore.
AJ vomited for several hours, went to bed at around midnight to try and sleep it off, but was found dead by his parents 11 hours later.
Jesus.
When he failed to turn up for college in Belgium, a post-mortem thing found that he died suddenly from food poisoning caused by Bacillus cereus. That's a spore-forming bacteria that produces toxin and can lead to vomiting and diarrhea. The food was tested by the National Laboratory for the Foodborne Outbreaks. It was found that it was so poisonous, it caused his liver to fail.
Oh, my God.
Many people eat pasta or any other form of noodles that are leftovers for a day or two, and that's fine. But be careful of food left out for more than a few hours. If the food smells funny, it's always better to be safe than to be sorry.
Mike Hawk, you. I feel like that story is targeted for you. You are the guy that will make, what, on Sunday, I guess, you will make spaghetti for the week?
Correct.
You heard the story, right?
Yeah, I do refrigerate the spaghetti, though. I don't just leave it out on the stove.
Right, like he comes in and microwaves it. Like that guy was just being, I mean, I'm lazy, but 5 days, you just leave the pot out and you're eating off the stove?
5 days? What's your limit on pizza on the counter? You got the pizza.
That's fine enough.
Oh, morning. Came at 12:30, 1 o'clock. All right, it's been out on the counter. You're good with those 8 hours?
Hell yeah.
Put it in the fridge by that night.
You put it in the fridge that night? I put it in the fridge that night.
I would if I remember to, but occasionally you forget. And if I still see it, I'm like, damn, I'm going to have to throw what I don't eat right now away.
That's the only reason I buy those freezer-sized Ziploc bags.
Those things are magnificent.
For extra pizza.
They are
very
fantastic,
rarely does anything else go in there. You're like, not like I have like a huge sandwich.
By the way, a couple things coming in. It says, I got food poisoning that lasted 3 days, both ends. Worst days of my life. And then, Miles, you said, look, I don't judge a book by its cover. So you judge that mushroom by its cover, went ahead and ate it anyhow, Miles.
I know, but it wasn't beautiful. Well, that actually
But
wasn't.
You even said as you're cooking this meal at home, this one particular mushroom out of the hundreds available, something told, like a red alert, a red flag popped up in your head.
I'm blaming the mushroom.
Cooked it.
I'm blaming the mushroom. It might have been my chicken handling skills. You never know.
Man.
It was raw chicken. I might have messed up. I don't know.
It starts raw, yes, and then you cook it.
I hate to blame the mushroom.
The one thing to stay true to the story was just the fact that as you were preparing the dish, of all the mushrooms available, there was just, what was it, the cap, I guess, looked wrong. Right? And mushrooms already a fungus. You already feel dicey eating it, but when a fungus even looks weird for a fungus, I feel it, man, just don't eat it. Fungus doesn't look normal ever. So when the fungus looks weird for itself, to me, it's like, don't eat it, man.
My favorite part of that whole experience, though, the best part.
There was a good part?
That was a favorite part. My favorite part was, so I get in this ambulance, right?
All right.
And
sounds fun.
And you know, like, for whatever reason, I'm just, like, I'm nauseous as hell, obviously.
Yeah, the mushroom.
Food poisoning.
I still feel terrible. And, of course, in the ambulance, they put you on a gurney, which is facing backward.
Right, your
head. Even if I were to turn my head and scream at my kids in the back of the car while driving, you know what I mean? Like, when I whip around, I've got vertigo. Like, I'm not good looking backward and stuff like that.
So your kids will get away with everything.
So the ambulance starts moving, you know what I mean? And I'm laying down and I'm looking out the back windows of the ambulance. We're going backwards. This is not a good position for someone with vertigo to be in, all right? I'm having a hard time. I feel like I'm going to puke. And I tell the guy, one of the guys there who's trying to help me out, I'm like, hey, man, I don't want to be this guy. I might have to puke. I said, do you guys have, like, a vomit bag or something? Lo and behold, they've got a bag.
In an ambulance.
Just like they do on an airplane. Well, where else do you see these vomit bags?
That's right.
You can't go to Walmart and buy, like, here's a vomit bag.
Are you sure?
Have you ever seen a vomit bag anywhere?
I've never looked for them. I just feel like there's got to be, like,
I'm pretty sure just planes. Maybe trains. I don't know who gets them. They only make them for those people. Like, you can't just go into Bartell and buy vomit bags.
God, they really should carry those.
So the guy gives me the vomit bag, you know what I mean? And I open it up and it has the nice, you know, kind of a metal rim around it so you can fold it up and close
they
it.
They want to make sure it stays closed.
In case you vomit in there, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm starting to feel like I got to puke and it gets bad and I get the puffy cheeks from it like, but I manage to keep it down and I swallow it. And he's like, are you going to be all right? And I was like, yeah, man, I think I'm going to be all right. He's like, good. I had a great time at Red Festival.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You should have puked on him.
Can I get a picture? Sure.
It's like, you got to be kidding me.
A few comments came in regarding food poisoning, and I appreciate both. First one says, food poisoning is caused by the toxins that the bacteria releases. So you can leave your food out, you can heat it up, you can irradiate it. The thing is, you can kill the bacteria, but the toxins...
All right.
So they take out. And the other one says, look, and this is probably a good rule. And this goes back to you looking at the mushroom. Says, if there's a doubt, then there's no doubt.
Yeah, right.
Just err on the side of caution.
I think about that when I look at the reduced meat.
Dude, it's got the rainbow sheen.
Like, basically, the sticker should say, like, cook immediately. Like, don't even take this out of the bag.
Can you cook it on the way home?
Put it in a pan when you get home. Get rid of the rainbow sheen.
Sometimes you got to Google stuff, though.
Like
I recently had to Google, how long can you eat sour cream after you open it?
Well, what's the expiration date?
But that's,
well, it wasn't about that. It was more of just call. I opened it.
Once you open it, the expiration date becomes different.
Yeah.
Right? Are you sure?
If it's depending on the product
is. It's open.
It's sour cream or that kind of dairy, okay? So best if used by. So sell by, keep in mind, sell by just means for the store itself. We would like to sell this by this date. Then it's kind of on you. Best if used by is not talking to the consumer. All right. So it says best if used by blank. And a lot of products you can buy and the best if used by date, a year and a half in the future.
Right.
And you think I'm good. But once you open it and crack the seal, like everything starts to speed. It's no longer good for 18. Mm-hmm. Like if you open sour, look at the date on your unopened sour cream best if used by. You got a long time to use it. Once you open it, that date is a wash.
Yeah, it feels broken.
Nothing. As soon as you open up a thing of Grey Poupon, it like dies in like a week and a half. You know,
Grey Poupon.
It's got the shortest shelf life of
that.
That
lasts forever.
No, it does. Look at this. Look at the sell by. It's unbelievable. It's like you buy it. It's like you have a week to eat this whole thing.
Mustard?
Yes.
Where are you buying your mustard?
At a freaking grocery store.
By the way, let me see. What was it? You can, in fact, get vomit bags at Walgreens and Rite Aid. Amazon sells vomit bags. Oh.
I've never walked by the vomit bag section. I swear to God, I've never seen them.
Maybe we're not looking for them.
Well, it's not a section. It's back by the prescription.
But where would you put
the vomit bags?
By the Bengay.
You know what?
Yeah,
you're right.
Like,
where do old people go when they go to Rite Aid?
Is that where you get like the poop juice? You know what I mean? Like,
yes!
The same place?
Yes!
So if it's coming in, out either way, it's the same
section. Back by the pharmacy.
Gotcha. More of the random question coming up. 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question, 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Hello, Ian.
Random,
welcome to the Men's Room.
Random.
Hola.
Hola. Random, Ian, welcome to the program. Random question, away we go. Let's go with this one. Ian, what did you not know that you found out later on? What did you not know initially that later on you were clued into?
How much pot parents actually smoked while growing up.
Okay. How did they...
That one was kind of interesting. Come home and one day you find some of your high school friends doing drugs with your parents.
Oh, wow. So they knew.
Yeah.
What was it about your friends that seemed so much cooler than you that your parents were like, hey, Freddie, you want to smoke some weed with us?
Always a pretty straight-laced kid and then had some friends who were pretty out there, but I guess stuff just clicked and, yeah.
So wait, you came home and your friends were there doing drugs with your parents?
Yeah.
And was it weed, or were they doing other things?
It was weed.
And what is that like when you walk into the room? So you don't realize your parents are smoking stuff. Your buddies are there smoking with them. Is it an awkward moment? Is there any conversation that follows?
It was awkward, and then at the end, it was like, all right, well, I guess that's who my parents are getting their drugs from.
Oh, I see. So they were buying them from your friends. Okay, what now, did you ever decide to smoke the devil's lettuce?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And you believe your parents still smoke to this day?
Oh, I know they do. They have plants.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do.
All right. Okay.
I don't even know them. They do.
Mm-hmm. Hey, was there any signs at all? Like, were they Grateful Dead fans? I mean, are there any telltale signs?
Looking back.
That, you know, like your dad wore a tie-dye or anything like that every once in a while? Or
Mom is a huge Deadhead.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, I don't, I'm sure there is a Deadhead out there that does not partake of anything. I do not believe there's a Deadhead out there who did not take a part of something, at least back in the day, man.
Never a Pink Daisy razor in the shower? Nothing ever clued you off that maybe, you know, nothing?
You know, nothing too much, but I'm sure, you know, I could look back and there'd be different signs, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I mean, you never know. Hindsight is always 20/20, as they say.
Yeah, hope it is.
The reason we asked, what did you not know that you found out later? As every day passes, it says, it seems more and more likely that the biggest lottery jackpot winner in U.S. history has no idea that they are a billionaire.
I hate this person.
Last year, when the Mega Millions got up to $1.5 billion, there was a winning ticket. It was sold in Simpsonville, South Carolina. That person still has not claimed the prize. They have until April 21st to do it. So you go, well, maybe they're lawyering up. Maybe they're doing all these things.
When did they pull the numbers for this? It's a while ago, right?
It is a while. So why haven't they done it yet? And you might think it's because they're not ready for that life change or they don't want to get hounded.
I ain't ready to stop being broke.
But in South Carolina, winners can choose to stay anonymous.
So is that by state?
Yes, it is by state. So sadly, it seems like the most likely scenario is they don't know that they have won. And the state of South Carolina is really pissed off about that.
Oh, they don't get their taxes, right?
They were on track to get about $61 million in taxes from the jackpot. If no one claims the jackpot before the deadline, all the states that participate in Mega Millions will get a piece based on how many tickets they sold.
All right.
So it'll just
so
be
South
spread
out. South Carolina wants their cut.
They want their $61 million. The person who won the prize might not even know that they won.
Or they just don't want to give the state
random,
that money.
Random.
With the estate.
Hello, Robert.
Random,
welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Hola. Doing well, man. How about yourself?
I can't complain. I'm sitting in some crappy traffic on 167, though, but I got you guys to listen.
All right. This is a perfect question for you, then. How long were you trapped? How long were you trapped? Hell, there was a big car crash up in Canada. A bunch of people were...
Are you still trapped when you get out of your car and play hockey with strangers?
You got nothing else to do.
You're stuck. You're not trapped.
You're trapped. Right. Well, you're stuck.
It was a 75-car pileup. The roads are covered in ice. That's part of the reason the accident happened. And they show video of this accident. Not the accident itself, but the aftermath. And it's a bunch of people outside of the car because they all have hockey sticks. And they're just, you know, practicing hockey shots.
I like when it pans back. You see there's a dude. There's, like, another guy. And he's just, like, behind him with his stick.
Yeah. I mean,
pass of the puck, man.
So how long were you trapped?
Being trapped, I guess, is kind of subjective because I was in the Navy and I was trapped on a ship for 6 months out to sea, if you want to look at it that way.
That's the perfect answer to the question. And what could you do? Was there any way to, relieve your stress? I mean, could you, like, throw a football, play bat? I mean, was there anything you could do on that boat to kill some time?
Other than work 18 to 20 hours a day, chronic masturbation afterwards.
Okay, that's about right.
I mean, I guess it depends on the size of the boat.
It doesn't. Work and masturbate. Like, just, it's understood, man.
6 months of working and masturbate. God almighty. See the world.
Right. They don't tell you that part.
More of the random question coming up in seconds.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.